What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey, friends, welcome. Glad you're here with me on Mesmerized. And I'm going to be quick in the intro today because I'm going to baseball. And friends, you know this, if you've been listening, that we have two seniors in our house this year, a senior graduating from college, which I guess she's technically not in our house. She's in Austin, but she's graduating. And then our son, Brett, is graduating from high school. And today is a day that I've been dreading for most of his life. It's probably his last day of baseball. And you just never think that day's going to come. I mean, you do all the carpools, you go to all the games and the tournaments, and you're like, there'll just be another one, there'll be another one, there'll be another one, and this is it. It is playoffs today. And they may win, and that would be awesome. Then there'll be one more. But if they don't, this is it. So I'm prepping myself, and I'm a little bit messy over here today, if you will. But I would say hug your babies because, man, they say, you know, the days are long, but the years are short. And am I ever living that right now? And so, yes, all amazing things must come to an end, but I am not ready. So I'm going to go do that. And then you guys, next week, our daughter graduates from college and we will be there. And the week after that, our son will graduate from high school. And I don't know what to do with all this information. Poor sweet JB. Good thing he's only in second grade because my heavens, I am not ready for any other transitions. So the good news is today we have David Thomas and Sissy Goff with us. And if you don't know them, you need to know them. They are counselors in Nashville. They have a podcast, Raising Boys and Girls, and we are talking about things not to do. I started my own segment of Let's Not Do That, okay? And you'll get it when you start listening, but we had a very good laugh. They are hilarious and so kind. And they also have two new books coming out mid-May, but pre-order them now. And they are for the younger kiddos in our lives. Owen Learns He Has What It Takes. That's by David Thomas. And Lucy Learns to Be Brave by Sissy Goff. And so check those out. Pre-order them. That is a huge help to both of them as authors. And then also they have a Raising Capable Kids conference that you can register for. It's in September 13th, but I will link all of this in podcast notes. I cannot wait for you to hear today's show. It's so much fun. It is so informative. So tune in. Here we go. David Thomas and Sissy Goff.
Guys, Dave and Sissy, thanks for being here.
Oh, Cynthia, we're always so glad to have time with you in any space.
Well, you're super fun. You say that, and I'm getting ready to start something new with you. It's a segment, and by calling it a segment, I do. Literally, I've never done it before. But, you know, the thing is when you're with friends that kind of know you after a while, they either are going to be like, that's just Cynthia, or she's kind of off the rails. But either way, you still love me, so we're just going to go with it. Are y'all good?
Great. We are good to go.
Okay. Now, listen, I released a book, and so I know that when you are releasing books, which we're going to talk about in a minute, that you do a lot of press and a lot of podcasts. So I'm just trying to get us out here. We're going to do a little differently today. And I remember when I was on your podcast being like, you would ask me questions, and it took everything I had to be like, who cares what I have to say? Can I ask you questions? And I feel like that's what we're going to do here. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give you some scenarios, and I'm going to give you a chance to say what you want to say. And we're going to call this segment, Let's Not Do That. Okay? It's a parenting segment called Let's Not Do That. Kind of like the church lady, remember on SNL when she's like, isn't that special?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Here's the first one, okay? This is for David. And these may or may not have been things that have happened in my past, okay? It's fine, everybody. Your teenage son comes in after school. You're bombarding him with questions because you haven't seen him all day. You're desperate for a relationship because, I mean, he's going to college. And so finally, he's not responding. You're frustrated. And you say, do you realize that we pay for everything you have? The least you could do is talk. Let's not do that, right? Okay. So give us your let's not do that. Give us a little explanation. And how do we do better, David?
Let's not do that. Asking for a friend, right? We're asking for a friend. Okay.
Yes.
I would say, first off, let's just acknowledge the universal struggle of getting boys of all ages to talk and how frustrating that is, a journey, I think, for all parents, moms in particular. And so my challenge would be, think on two things. One, talking around a task. I think that's always a win with boys. So if you've got littles, build some Legos and watch for where conversation may start to happen naturally because he didn't expect it was going to happen. If you've got olders, you know, if he's outside shooting hoops, go outside, take him something to drink, retrieve the ball, and watch for where conversation may start to happen naturally. The other thing I would say is, when in doubt, there is incredible truth to that age-old wisdom of the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So feed him. Feed him, and it's fascinating to me how boys will talk in the company of food and how that opens them up. So we're not going to let him off the hook with not talking. We're just going to look for maybe some better opportunities to engage him and using some good tools like task and food.
Well, because I'm a huge fan of yours, I knew that. And the other day I needed some answers out of my son and I made bacon with my back to him. And I asked him a lot of questions because he doesn't eat carbs right now, which is a whole nother situation. Our house smells like a Western Sizzler, but nonetheless, I made bacon and with my back to him, I got good answers. Okay. I appreciated that. Let's not do that. Sissy, are you ready? And we're going to start with a teenage daughter. She comes in before bed. You can tell she's kind of nervous. It's been happening quite a bit at night, some anxiety points. And she says, man, I'm really worried about my exam tomorrow. And you say, not Sissy, Cynthia might say, I don't know why you always worry about tests. You do fine. And I'm starting to worry that you're becoming a worrier.
Ooh, yes.
Let's not do that.
But I get it because it would be a logical, intuitive response even. And instead, I think we love the idea of empathy and questions always, especially with teenagers, because we want them to be connecting the dots themselves. And so to start maybe instead with, I know, I love how much school matters to you. I love how hard you work, how thoughtful you are, and I know it can weigh heavy on you. Tell me what you've done already to prepare, because I have a feeling you're more prepared than you think. Which is really saying the same thing. It's just flipping it around a little bit where we're offering a lot of empathy and support and then giving her the opportunity to remind herself of the tools she's already used.
That's so good. And by the way, everyone, I'm going to interject here. Sissy and David have an event coming up on September 13th called Raising Capable Kids. It is in Franklin. Or is it? No, it's in Nashville?
Franklin.
Oh, it's in Franklin. Okay, gosh, if you haven't been to Franklin, guys, I was there.
Like something out of a movie, isn't it?
Out of a movie. I was there this fall, and they had a pumpkin festival, and I'm a new person after that, like second to coming to Jesus. I'm different. Anyway, they're going to be talking about technology, birds and bees, neurodivergence, mental health. Again, that's September 13th. We'll link all the things. They have not asked me to be a part of it with my new segment of Let's Not Do That, but there's still time, everyone. Don't even worry. Okay, that was my interjection. Okay, younger kiddos. We're going younger now. David, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your younger son, whatever age you want him to be, he comes in, he's being disrespectful after school, is kind of acting out, probably unregulated, and you say, get it together. If you're disrespectful in this house, you're grounded. Let's not do this. What should we do instead? Because they're crazy after school, these kids, these boys. Ooh.
They are. And there's something wise about the acknowledgement of that. And that I'd argue, I don't think a boy's capable of being his best self after school. When he's been required to do a lot of sitting still and maintaining focus for 7 hours of the day, which are not particular strengths for most boys. And so because he's emptied the regulation tank in the academic space, let's give him a big window of reprieve. So move his body, get a snack, get some fuel in his system. Let's not have much of any conversation in that space. And then look at engaging him on the other side of that. Now, within that, I don't want anyone listening to hearing me say, we're going to let him off the hook with just being as disrespectful as he wants to be. We're absolutely not. And so I want us to call attention to those different moments, but let's factor in all the ingredients and making sure we're setting him up for success. Like if I'm requiring too much of him when the tank is empty, like it's impossible. And so what would it look like to address that and then circle back at some point a little bit later? So we're not going to let him off the hook.
Yeah. You said something on social recently that I thought was interesting. You were talking about kind of disrespectfulness, but you made a comment. You said that boys are experiential learners. What does that mean?
It means they make their best connections by going through the motions. And we can lose that and start to believe that they're primarily auditory learners, which is where we start to talk a lot and lecture a lot and linger in conversation in ways where he's just not making his best connections. So I love thinking about different ways that boys could experience something as a way of making those great connections. So a great example would be my mom was an Olympic gold medalist when it came to cues. So if she and I were having a conversation and it started to turn disrespectful, she would tap her ear. It was like this visual cue, like, hey, buddy, you can autocorrect right now, or you can keep going and you're going to lose some Atari time. Mm. And so it was this opportunity for me to make some connections without her moving into a lot of lecturing and lingering in conversation.
So good. So good. I love the Atari reference. Thank you for all of us.
Didn't I date myself in that?
Language.
All of us who love Space Invaders.
Yes. Okay. Last one of let's not do that. Sissy, your daughter, younger daughter, she comes in and says she wasn't invited to the sleepover. Everybody got invited, it feels like. And you say, oh, those girls are awful anyway. I wouldn't want you around them. Let's not do
maybe,
that.
Maybe, yes. Let's not do that. And everything in your bones is going to want to. And I think a lot, well, let me start off by saying, I believe girls are struggling relationally more than I've ever seen them struggle in 31 years of counseling kids. I mean, they're just younger and younger ages, they're getting meaner and meaner and more exclusive, which is heartbreaking to watch. And I would say in those moments, again, a whole lot of empathy, a whole lot of support without trying to say terrible things about the friends, because she'll want to have them over tomorrow and you're going to be swimming around in all that resentment for those kiddos. And so I think to say, oh, honey, I'm just so sorry. And then I would flip it to, what's something you and I could do together to have fun? What's something you would look forward to? And I think, especially as moms, there are seasons that you're going to have to step into the gap of when she's struggling with friends, and that's okay. And again, I mean, I feel like I'm watching girls take longer to find their people than I've ever watched them before. And so it may be then that come Monday you say, hey, honey, I think it would be great for us to create a wider net. Like, let's build some more friendships and tell me two people you want to start to get to know this week, and how can we do that? How could you start to do that? What are some questions you could ask? Do you want to have someone different over and expand their little vision for friendships? Because often they've got their eyes set on a few, and when those few are the ones their eyes are set on, those few are not necessarily the most inclusive friends. And so I think widening that perspective can be really helpful for kids. And then you know who the ones are she's chosen, and you can pray and tell her, I'm going to be praying for you this week and building some new friends, and I'm so excited to see who God picks for you and who you start to connect with.
Yeah. And I love that. I don't love it, but I do appreciate the fact that you're saying that kids are meaner younger. Like, I think that's validating in some way, because you kind of get to this point where you're like, is it my kid, or is it, is my child too sensitive? Am I too sensitive? And I remember one time, one of my very wise friends said, one of the hardest things she's ever did, has ever had to do in parenting is forgive the child who hurt her child. And I was like, that's wisdom there, because how many times have I had to, like you said, like kind of swallow it and be like, okay, today we're going to be friends. But a quick follow-up to that, either one of you, if kids are really kind of meaner, earlier, younger, what are we doing that's creating that?
Well, I'm going to jump in, Cynthia, and say I've had a conversation in the last 2 years with more mothers that are experiencing that same meanness from other mothers. I think there is a pettiness, a lack of awareness, a lack of compassion, our own exclusivity that I think can factor in, and it certainly trickles down to the kids that we love. And I think we've got to check ourselves, and how much are we including the other moms who feel on the outside, the newer moms, the people who might not be a part of our world as much. What can we do to love on others? Because I think we're losing some of that in this day and time.
That's a good word.
And I'm only going to add to that, and moms, in the great wisdom of our friend Cynthia, let's not do that.
Let's not do that. I mean, really.
Let's not be petty.
I'm not saying it's a segment on your podcast every week, but I'm not saying it's not, guys. I mean, that's just where we are. If you need someone to show up and say, let's not do that, Cynthia Yanoff, I'm always available. It's
fantastic.
Fun. Love it.
You two have two new books out I'm super excited about for kids. I think I saw that it was about 7 years old and younger. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And so let's start, David, with yours. I love, first of all, that they're both about your dogs, which is so phenomenal, because I'm just going to tell you right now, if it's about your cats, I'm not sure you'd be on the show. I draw the line there. And you may love cats. Whoever you are, listener, I love you in Christ, but that's it. But let's talk about this, David. Owen learns he has what it takes, a lesson in resilience. And I love that you're writing a book on resilience. Obviously, you guys speak all over the country. You guys are the experts. Everyone knows and loves you for what you do. If you think speaking into resilience is important for 7-year-olds and below, then I need to know why and what do we need to be doing. So talk to us about that.
Well, you are incredibly kind to give us the opportunity to talk about these books. We have, for any folks who don't know, used therapy dogs as a part of our practice at Daystar for a lot of years. And so they're a huge part of the work we do. And it felt like a really natural extension, because we've watched the way so many kids have interacted with them and how much learning happens in that space. I mean, Cynthia, if I had a quarter for every time I had done some of my very best social coaching with elementary age boys through my dog, like Owen was a Labrador Retriever, which, you know, means for anyone who's had a retriever, they stand too close, they lick too long, like they're in your personal space all the time. So it's a great opportunity to teach kids through this animal they're drawn to. And to your specific question about resilience, Sissy and I really are seeing greater evidence than ever that kids are building less of that than any other time in the 30 years that we've been doing this work. And so it did feel important to think, how could we begin to speak to this idea with really young kids? And what does it look like to start to build that? And so just even introducing this concept of, you know, empowering kids to believe they can do hard things, and that just because I feel overwhelmed or afraid doesn't mean I should move away from that opportunity, which is instinctive in kids. And I think honestly instinctive in a lot of grownups. Like, we see our kids struggling, it's like, I need to extract him from that. Soccer practice obviously is too overwhelming for him, as opposed to, nope, soccer might be a context for building a lot of grit and endurance and resilience. And so I tell a story in this book of having trained Owen to be a therapy dog. And we went for our very first visit at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, and he loved kids. This dog just crazy about kids. And there's a little boy in a hospital room who he wanted to engage with, but he was so overwhelmed by all the white coats, the machines going up and down the hall, these different alarms going off on the machines, that it just kind of paralyzed him. And so he couldn't even get in the room to see this kid he was just so wanting to be in relationship with. And so the first visit, I had to carry this 70-pound dog into this hospital room and put him on this boy's bed. And of course, it was this amazing exchange, but an exchange that he would have missed if he had let that fear convince him that he wasn't capable of doing this job I trained him to do that he was so gifted at. So it's an opportunity just to introduce that idea to kids. There's these conversation starters that we put in each of the books that are opportunities for parents and kids to talk about this idea we're introducing. And then we put a tool. These are the first two of four Daystar Dogs books that we have written. We've got two more coming out in November, and every book has a tool that parents can use. So Owen's book has a feelings chart just to begin to help kids start to name their experience and put words to their experience.
Yeah. You don't even know how I just had a heart drop moment when you said that's the first two of four. I'm like, darn if those next two are not probably about cats. And I literally just said that. So I've never felt worse
no
about
cats.
Myself in that moment. I'm so thankful though.
The cats are not welcome into the Daystar Dog series. They're not
fabulous.
They're not
fabulous,
the leading characters.
You want a cat? Just get a teenage daughter, people. It's fine. Here's a question for you, David. What does a lack of resilience look like as our kids get older? Like, how do you identify that?
You know, I would say that in all these decades of doing this work, I have never seen as few adolescent boys who are interested in getting their driver's license, interested in asking a girl to a homecoming dance, interested in getting a part-time job, interested in applying to college. And that's not to say college is the end-all be-all for every kid, but it is to say, if I've started this pattern from young all the way through adolescence of where when I feel overwhelmed by something, I just back away, you get to the higher stakes moments of life, and it makes sense to me that kids aren't engaging them. And that's not to say driving is the end-all be-all, but it is this opportunity for independence, for tapping into I'm capable, I'm resourceful, all these things that I just am deeply concerned if we keep trending in this direction, all the different ways that's going to play out for these kids in adulthood. So it just, again, felt really important that we start talking about this as early as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, I was asked to speak at our church on a Sunday morning last summer. And I go to a big church in Dallas, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think so. Like, I speak a lot of places, but I'm like, that just feels different on a Sunday morning. And I remember going through this whole discussion, but my kids were all sitting there, and I was like, oh wait, like, I've prayed their entire lives, like, do the hard things. And so I just prayed a lot about it and felt like the Lord, you know, with the opportunities given to me to do it. And so I did it. Well, it's funny, just this last weekend, my son, in the last couple weeks, was asked to speak at the big senior banquet, and they picked two kids only. And it was such an honor, but he's not a public speaker. But I was like, but you can be, get out there and do it. And you know what? He said yes. And he's like, okay, what do I need to know? And he was like, it was just such a good moment to be able to say, like, do the hard thing, but also you kind of have to do the hard thing if you want your kid to do the hard thing and be resilient.
Yes.
So anyway, we lived that, and it was really rewarding to see him get out of his comfort zone and stand in front of 300 people and give a speech and talk. And I was like, you know what? You did it. And to myself, I was kind of like, you know what? You did it. And so I appreciate this book and starting it early. And I've seen it, I've read it, and it's good, and we're going to link it. Sissy, talk to us about Lucy. Lucy learns to be brave, which is a lesson in courage. And I go back to the same thing I said with David. If you guys can write on whatever you want and you picked courage, talk to us about why that's something we need to be working on.
Yes. Well, we know 1 in 4 kids are dealing with anxiety, 1 in 3 adolescents. Girls are twice as likely as boys to deal with it. And the average age of onset used to be 7. We're seeing it drop to 6 with signs as young as 4 and 5. And like we're saying, early intervention in all things makes a profound difference. And so as we're reading these books to these kids, as we're giving them opportunities to practice courage, experience courage, to David's great point, we are building neural pathways that will last them a lifetime in what it looks like to fight anxiety, to work through their worry, which is what we want for all kids. And Lucy was amazing little Havanese who had a lot of fears, and they included everything from bigger dogs to being in the car to her biggest fear was hiccups. I never knew that about her until I was meeting with this poor woman I had never met about her daughter. And we were sitting and talking, and I got the hiccups. And Lucy jumped in the woman's lap, then climbed up on the chair behind her. And by the end of my hiccup run, she had her front paws on the woman's head, trying to get on top of her head. She's trying to get as high as she could. And so where the story goes is that Lucy learns to feel safe within the context of how loved she is. And and I think to instill that kind of message in a young child, you are so loved by me, you are so loved by God, and he's going to take care of you. We talk sometimes about how Melissa, our founding director at Daystar, says that courage isn't the antidote to anxiety, but trust is. And I love that, because courage feels like something we have to rise to, whereas trust feels like somebody's got me. And so when we can start at 3, at 4, at 5, communicating that you can do brave things within this context, within the safety of my love, I think kids are going to really, we're doing a lot of preventative work, a lot of early work in dealing with the anxiety that's so rampant in our culture today.
Yeah. And I think it's not lost on us that courage and resilience are big factors into things we talked about earlier. If you want to help your child make new friends when they're excluded,
yes.
If you want to have your kid that's willing to express things and speak truth into your life and theirs, like these things all require kids that have courage, that have resilience. And like, if we want these things as high schoolers and college kids and adults, like we've got to start early. And so thank you for resources to help us do that at the earliest of ages. And so you guys, we will link them everywhere. When are these books out? Remind me.
Mid-May. But
okay.
You pre-order right now.
Oh, okay, great. And pre-ordering is a big deal. Everybody, if you don't know that, you should know that. It helps everybody. So pre-order, I will link everything in there. And these are really great books and great for your kids. And I would just say even a little older kids too, because I think you can never, like, I don't think you can reiterate these things enough. And even if they seem young, those great principles, they translate. So thanks for writing these. Mm-hmm. The first of four. And you can write 6, 8, 10 on dogs, but like, don't get desperate and go to like ocelots or weird things. Like, let's just stay with the dogs, you guys. Okay.
That is the plan. We're not veering.
Okay. Hey, was Lucy your dog that passed away?
Cynthia, I was thinking about that when you asked me that question. You came to town 2 days later and we did our interview. I think
that like it was within a day or two. And you weren't going to be, there originally. And then you ended up, coming in. And I was very grateful.
I was a mess. I think I cried 5 times.
That's great. Or it's because I wasn't a great guest. Either way, it's fine. Whatever we need to call that, Sissy. But well, I'm sorry that. And also, is Owen still with us or not? Your dog?
He is sadly not. I had that amazing guy for 12, almost 13 years and miss him. I made an impulsive decision not long ago, Cynthia, and got a puppy. We have an 8-month-old puppy in our house at this point.
Bless
and
you.
Yeah, look at what Sissy's holding right now. We both made this decision not long ago.
This is Patches.
Yeah. Oh, Patches, you're so cute. Is it
June and Patches are keeping us going.
Oh,
keeping
yes.
us running, maybe is a better way to say it.
Listen, we got a puppy about a year ago from Nashville, actually, when I was there. It's a long story. Worst dog. I mean, we love her, but she's just horrible. And I'm telling you, I could break... Like, your patients would need more therapy. She'd be good for business if I brought her in. Just horrible. But it's fine, everybody. We're working on it over here. Okay. I'm going to switch gears for our last few minutes. And I wanted to, I know you guys, and boy, you guys, if you're not listening to Raising Boys and Girls, like, it might be time to shut down Mesmerize and move right on over there.
No way.
It's so good. It's so good. But I love that you guys have been talking about just, are my kids on track and stages and ages and all of those things. It's so helpful. And I was just thinking, if we were going to talk about are my kids on track and milestones, I think the social ones are really interesting to a lot of us. Probably a lot of people listening have a little bit older kids and we're really honed in on that. And so talk to us. What are the 4 social milestones? And because I want you to know how professional I am, I wrote them down underneath, yet there's only 3. So something got weird over here. But I show awareness, reciprocity, and ownership. And then I guess it's a question. It's anyone's guess what the last one is. But will you talk to us about those and just kind of how do we look at those and how do we gauge if our kids are on track socially?
Well, the 4th is boundaries. So awareness, reciprocity, ownership, and boundaries. And, you know, we talk about these milestones different than the physical milestones we want to see kids progressing toward during development. So we know that, you know, we want to see kids crawling at a certain age, walking at a certain age, and we start to get concerned if they haven't hit that milestone within a certain space. But these are different in that we want to see kids progressing toward these all throughout development. So it's not like you've hit awareness by 11. I mean, all 3 of us, let's laugh together. We know some grown-ups who could still use some practice with awareness or with...
Do you want to use names or no? No. Okay. Okay. Never mind. Keep going. I just give us all an opportunity if we need to vent anything.
Seriously. And Sissy, if you're okay, how about I'll talk about awareness and reciprocity and you talk about the other two, because I think with a lot of boys, those two go hand in hand. And, you know, I mentioned using Owen as a great tool for helping boys build awareness, because I know plenty of elementary, middle school age boys who talk way too long about a topic they're interested in without passing the ball. You know, it's like, I don't know a lot of people who want to listen to a 45-minute monologue about a video game, but I know a lot of boys who could talk that long about one. And so what does it look like to move from awareness into reciprocity, which reciprocity is really just the the back and forth of relationship, the knowing and practicing that every relationship, every good conversation is a two-way street, mm-hmm. where I'm listening and talking. But again, I know some grown-ups who do 90% talking, 10% listening, who need to balance that equation. And in our offices, when we're working with kids who struggle with reciprocity, I have a Nerf football and I'll throw it back and forth with boys. And I'll say, mm-hmm. you know, let's see if we can figure out how long is too long to be talking about something I'm interested in before I need to pass the ball. And then a lot of boys get roadblocked with having conversation or carrying the ball down the field. And so I'll have a lot of teenage guys, for example, who get overwhelmed sometimes talking to girls. Like, let's come up with three open-ended questions that you could put in your phone that if you get roadblocked having a conversation with a girl, you run the bathroom, come back into study hall, sit down, ask one or two of those questions, and watch where that allows some of that back and forth to happen. So it's just the thing we hope to accomplish in Are My Kids on Track was really not just defining these milestones, but talking about the nuts and bolts, the mechanics of helping kids develop these, and really practical ways that we can help them develop these muscles. Sissy, you talk about the other two.
I'm going to interject in there and give Sissy a moment to consider. I'm going to interject the fact that I think that doesn't stop, like you said, with adults. And you guys know my good friend Heather McFadden, and she and I have a podcast together called Sidetracked, a different one. And the other day we made a list. I made a list of things I'm tired of people talking about that I no longer care about. And I felt like I just needed to share. And on those were your remodel. I'm not interested. I love you, but I don't care. The second one was your dream last night. Not like I dream of being something. Like what you dreamt last night, like, the funniest dream. It's not funny. We love you, but it's not. And the third one that we laughed about was your vacation and every detail of your last vacation. Mm. So we were laughing about the things, joking, I guess it's a funny podcast, but just about the things that we over talk about ourselves or we allow others. Yes. So I love this. This is a lesson that you've given for all of us. Okay. Throw the football, friends, right? Okay. Sissy, you're up.
Oh, that's so good. Well, thinking about ownership and boundaries, really, these are the two out of all 12 of the milestones that we see girls and boys go to different directions, which is fascinating. And when it comes to ownership, I read a study years ago, Cynthia, I feel like you and I've talked about this, that when something goes wrong in a boy's world, he blames someone else. So he does
often
not take ownership.
Often his mother.
Often his mother. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, David. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when something goes wrong in a girl's world, she blames
herself.
Right. Exactly. Wow. We know. And so girls will often take too much ownership, say, I'm sorry too often, think they're the problem. And helping girls learn boundaries out of that. When David, Melissa, and I wrote Are My Kids on Track, boundaries really was the one milestone that we didn't even go different directions, but we conceptualized the word differently. Mm-hmm. And he immediately thought about how boys push boundaries with parents, and totally. I thought about how girls need to set boundaries. Girls have a hard time setting them. Mm-hmm. And so helping them in both spaces and helping boys learn what boundaries look like and finding their own sense of ownership and what they might have done to contribute to the problem within the context of those boundaries, and often it's going to involve consequences for guys. David has this great acronym of blame, avoidance, and denial, that's where boys can go bad, in other words. And so helping guys work through that feels really important. And again, as young as we can start with that feels really important. And I think for girls relationally, helping them, you know, that old adage of there are two sides to every street, and helping them look at their side of the street, but realize they only have half the street. And girls can be, I talk about how girls can become really passive aggressive and manipulative. I had a girl one time, a fifth grader, who came in and she said, my best friend came up to me on the playground and she said, no offense, which we know we're not headed a good direction with girls.
Never. When
we started, no offense. Uh-uh. And she said, no offense, but our friendship is like a dead flower.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really something.
I know.
I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good.
No. Can you imagine? And this little girl was heartbroken and didn't have the courage to say, can you tell me more? Which, of course, And I don't even think she needed to say that because that girl was being passive aggressive and didn't need that passive aggressiveness reinforced. So teaching girls to communicate clearly in Are My Kids on Track, we have an outline for healthy conflict resolution for girls and for boys too, because again, how many of us never learned that growing up, still struggle to figure that out relationally today? And so wanting to help them find tools socially like that is so important, as David said, in building those muscles.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can find all of the other milestones. There's spiritual ones, emotional ones. We talked about the social ones. And that's all in the book.
Are My Kids on Track?
Yeah. Okay. And so that's been out. It's available. It's been out for years, right? A couple of years?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's great. It's so helpful. I have it sitting on my bookshelf. When you said that no good conversation starts with no offense, I felt compelled to also say there's two others. Just so you know, if somebody starts it with that, bad news. Yes. Here's one more for you. I love you enough to tell you. No. That's not going to end well. No. So yeah.
Can I add one?
Please.
That I think we need to help kids with and be aware of ourselves.
Actually, how about literally too? That's another one. Actually, literally. Actually. Okay. I like it. Mm-hmm.
I know more than you do. In other words.
Mm-hmm. Like this is the real truth. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what I say to that, Sissy and David? Let's not do that. Right. We're going to end where we started. Okay, well, everybody, listen. The book's coming out that you need a copy of. We're going to pre-order is Lucy Learns to Be Brave, A Lesson in Courage, and that's by Sissy. And Owen Learns He Has What It Takes, It's a Lesson in Resilience by David. And September 13th in Franklin, I may or may not be stalking. I mean, I haven't signed up. I might not sign up. I might stand at the doors. I might be a heckler. You never know. But it's a great conference. And like I said, they're going to have birds and the bees, people there talking about that, neurodivergence, mental health. And people who listen to this podcast know that we have a real situation here about talking to the birds and the bees in this house. Like nobody needs this more than me. As discussed recently with our last guest, where I told him that I told my kids that they're, I referred to their parts when they're little as their front bottom and their back bottom. So we started off rough over here, but Jim Burns has kind of been straightening it out for me the last few weeks on the podcast. So you guys, all of it's linked in podcast notes. David and Sissy, you're the very best. Thanks for doing
Cynthia,
this.
Cynthia, we love you. We're so grateful for you. Thank you for helping us laugh.
I would love to begin every day with you, Cynthia. Better than coffee.
Okay, fine. I'll move to Nashville if I must. But thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, friend. You too.
All right. I hope you loved that. Like, I love talking to them. They're so much fun. And I've interviewed them so many times. And it's like they're dear friends now. Maybe not after that interview, but generally speaking, yes. And I think the one thing that struck me was how Sissy said that girls are getting meaner and meaner. And Sissy and David both are so kind and so generous with their words. For them to say that and agree on that tells me that it's a problem. And so I think that as moms, that's something that we can really think about in our own lives and prioritize showing our kids what empathy and kindness and inclusivity looks like. So that was something that stuck with me. I'm sure there's lots of other things that you got out of today's show. Just thank you so much for listening. And as always, guys, thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. You're the very best.